Hello, hello. Welcome to our guests and our audience. Welcome to the CBT Dive. This is a video podcast that shows you how to use cognitive behavioral therapy skills in real life. I'm psychotherapist and social worker Raheem Thower. And today's show is a CBT Shorts episode where we've collected moments from the original for you to dip into. Today, I'd like to welcome a friend, somebody I've known for a long time, Farah. Farah is a South Asian Muslim woman in an interracial and interfaith relationship. She's passionate about education as a vehicle to uplift communities, and she's her father's primary caregiver after her mom and grandmother's passing in February 2020. Welcome, Farah. How are you today?
I'm good, Raheem. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. So look, I'm just going to share that, you know, the basic premise of CBT is that our thoughts and emotions and behaviors are all connected, right? So if we take a look at a particular situation, we can identify what difficult feelings come up, and we can see if those feelings are connected to automatic negative thoughts or unhelpful thought patterns that are holding you back. And so our objective is going to be to analyze a particular situation in a linear way so that we can see what feelings come up and if we can reduce the intensity of those feelings by restructuring some of your thought process. Does that sound like something you're willing to take a dive into today?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
All right. Love it. So I'm going to share my screen. So before today's episode, I had asked you about something you're experiencing that you might want to work on. So my question is, can you name a recent time where you experienced a spurt of anger, as you called it?
To be honest, Friday, I had it.
Tell me a bit about what happened in that situation.
So I was getting fruit from the fridge, and my dad had told me that he had cleaned out the fridge, and we like to go mm-hmm. through it once a month. Produce just doesn't go bad or whatever. So I had all this fruit, and I took out some grapes. I washed them and I went off to work. Yeah. And then I realized, I opened my grapes, that there was actually maggots in my food.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And I got so angry. I got home. The first thing I did was throw all the produce and stuff out of the fridge and clean it. And then I just got angry.
So let's see if I've got it right. It's this past Friday when you found maggots in your fruit as a result of your dad's neglect. And his neglect was due to his depression and substance use. Is that accurate? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, of course, you mentioned that you felt angry. What other feelings did you have in the moment, do you think?
Anger, exhaustion, sadness, you know, 20% worry of like, oh, I wonder what this will be like when I don't live with him.
I see. I'm going to name a couple other feelings, and I just wonder if they're there. You could say yes or no. Guilt, grief, fear.
Grief, fear.
So we've got a good list of feelings here. Anger, exhaustion, sadness, defeat, worry, fear, and grief, right? So I'm going to go through each of these and ask you to rate the intensity with which you felt them this past Friday. It's on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is very intense. 1 is not so intense. So feeling angry?
10.
10. Okay, great. Exhaustion?
10.
All right. Sadness?
Oh, yeah, 10. It was pretty real.
Okay. Defeat?
About an 8.
Mm. Worry?
5.
Mm-hmm. Fear?
2.
And grief?
2.
Now, for you, I just have to also ask, does grief come with physical sensations for you in your body?
Both do.
Feelings can be so embodied that it's important to capture sometimes. Yeah.
With anger, my muscles tense, my hands will shake, my heart rate elevates.
You had mentioned that in terms of your behavior, when you're angry, you're actually good for a moment at being composed and saying what you need to say. Is that something that happened on Friday?
Yeah, I said what I needed to say.
Sure. And then there was the cry that came after that.
Yeah. And the excessive anxiety of cleaning up the whole fridge and making sure that everything was okay everywhere else.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if we should go back to the feeling list and add the word anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety for sure.
With anxiety, how would you rate that?
Oh, 10.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, then it's important to list if it's so okay. Central in the experience. Now I'm going to go through some of these feelings. I'm going to start with the emotions that have some of the higher intensity. And maybe you can tell me what thoughts were going through your mind as you were experiencing those emotions in this particular, you know, refrigerator maggot situation. So when you felt angry, you thought...
I thought, I can't believe I am burdened with the parent that I don't respect and don't like. Mm. I can't believe that I have to take care of somebody who has caused so much pain.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a lot of it is directed to him. It's not just directed to like the circumstances.
As you're saying it, I think it was one of those things that was like, well, if mom was here, like this would have been done.
Ah, so I'm upset that mom left me with you, knowing that I don't like you. Yeah. So I can see that some emotions are coming up, and I just want to make space for that because that is very normal. You're also talking about some heavy stuff. Maybe we could take a quick pause and you can join me in taking a deep breath in.
Yeah,
that'd be good. All right.
I appreciate it.
This is tough stuff. And it's multi-layered, you know? So I want to go back to this moment where you're angry. Because I think when you initially discover the maggots, there's anger toward your dad, right? I wonder, like, when you first get frustrated with him, what's that thought?
I don't know why I'm trying to heal with someone who's not going to change.
Ah, now tell me about the sadness and the exhaustion. Do you feel sad and exhausted because...
The sadness comes twofold. One, like I mentioned with my mom being gone and stuck with my dad. But two, I'm sad for my dad. You know, he can't recognize or doesn't have the tools to be able to break through it in a way that I think would be healthier for him overall.
I'm just going to reread some of the things I wrote. I hope I capture the sentiment. So you had said, I don't know why I'm trying to heal with someone who can't change. I'm sad for my dad that he's unwell and doesn't have the tools to get better. I've been a caregiver nonstop since my mother and grandmother died, and I'm stuck and want out. Yeah. Does that capture what you just said?
Yeah.
I have a sense that you've been in this position for a long time, and there's something that you're trying to get away from that you dread, and you might have a visual image of that.
I remember when the pandemic, the second wave, when ICU beds were incredibly overwhelmed. Someone had done this water painting of a nurse or of a hospital caregiver that just, they were hunched over and just completely exhausted.
It seems like you're experiencing caregiver burnout that's very specific to your father.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, what's the thought that helps explain why you don't like him? Because I think that's where some of the anger comes from.
I think it's tough to be a caregiver for someone I don't trust.
What do you worry will happen if you continue to be a caregiver for someone you don't trust?
That I'll be stuck doing it forever. There's also a fear of, like, I don't want him to die and I still have unresolved stuff.
So I don't want dad to die while we have unresolved issues.
Yeah.
Then what do you worry will happen to you? Or will there be another consequence to that?
I guess I worry, like, if there's an answer that I want from my dad, I wouldn't be able to get it if he's gone.
Mm. Tell me if I got this right. I said, dad's dishonesty will make it difficult for me to heal or feel resolution. Dad's dishonesty means I won't be able to heal or feel resolution.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that perhaps the last statement we put down, dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution about my past, is maybe the most central thought that is driving the anger, exhaustion, sadness, defeat, and anxiety. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to tell you a little about what I did here. First, I asked you a lot about anger and the thoughts connected to the anger. But then I found that your automatic thoughts about anger actually couldn't be distilled much further. Anger is a secondary emotion and shows up in a way that masks so many other things. So then my second hypothesis was that it's the sadness, which you rated at a 10, the exhaustion that you rated at a 10, the anxiety that you rated at a 10, and the defeat that you rated at an 8, that was really what I needed to pay attention to. And so when we did that, we came to this idea that, you know, when we're talking about sadness, it's, or defeat, it's tough to be a caregiver for someone I don't trust. And then we kind of distilled it to dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution about my past. And that makes it, we got to a point where it makes it about you. We have a thought, right, that makes you feel really stuck and drives a lot of the feelings you're feeling in the feeling list. Does that make sense in terms of how we got here to this this thought? Okay, so this thought that I put in bold is what we're going to call the hot thought. The hot thought is often something that is wrapped up in the automatic thoughts that represents an unhelpful thought pattern. Usually it's quite definitive and it needs some work, but it is the one that's the most salient among the automatic thoughts. And it's not always the one that's at the surface. So it's hard for someone without being coached through this process to be able to identify it. So now we're going to go to the next step. But before we do, I just want to acknowledge that the automatic thoughts column is probably the hardest and it's tiring. How are you feeling in this moment of just having gotten there?
I feel really good. I think if I was doing this alone, I probably would have just stayed stuck on anger.
Okay. So now the next two columns are about evaluating the evidence for and against this, this hot thought. So dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution about my past. Now, what's evidence that you have from your life that supports that idea?
My dad is very dishonest about money, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll say he made this much money, but he's had a lot of debt, so that doesn't line up.
So in terms of evidence about his dishonesty, it's we've got that he lied about the money. He's lied about money and debt in the past, maybe even in the present. He's also lied about seemingly small things like household chores. I'm curious to know if there's any evidence that supports the other side of that hot thought that you won't heal or feel resolution about your past. Your hot thought is that the dishonesty means that something you want is not going to happen, which is healing and feeling resolution. And we're trying to find evidence that supports that idea because it comes from somewhere. I'm wondering
if there's... That supports the hot... Because there's one that's like burning through my head.
Please tell me, yes.
Like my dad cheated on my mom for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, like, outside of the money thing, that's, I think, the core of, like, I don't trust that you're ever going to tell me the truth because you had this one lie for a very long time and you lied to multiple people about it.
Has anyone else in your family been able to heal from that?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't think I've ever asked other people how they felt about it.
So when we think about evidence that supports the hot thought is dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution. Your evidence is twofold. It entrenches where your dad's dishonesty comes from, where it continues to show up. And you also think about your healing and your resolution. And your other relatives, as far as you assume, they also haven't healed from this, right? So that is evidence that supports that the idea that you might not heal, because how could you if other people also haven't, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move over to the next column. And now we're looking for evidence that does not support the idea that the dishonesty means you won't heal or feel resolution. Okay, this might be a bit harder, but what we want to focus on is evidence that suggests you could heal or feel resolution. You had mentioned you've done some healing work with your dad. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, we had a big blowout a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I listed all the reasons why I resented him.
Yes.
And it was the first time in 30 years that he said, no, you're right. That he acknowledged my feelings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's huge. Okay. So you've done some healing work with dad and here's some evidence that you could heal in part, right?
Yes.
So sure. I've been able to share my grievances and had him acknowledge that I was right for the first time in 30 years. So that's not full healing, but it's healing in part. Is there anything else you would want to share that suggests that you might heal or feel resolution about your past?
I see my dad trying in other ways. So like he makes an effort to like cook a few times a week because he knows that I'm like on a new meal plan. And so he'll always ask me, what can I get or what can I make?
All right. Now we're going to move on. We're in the final stretch. The second last column is called the alternative thought, or sometimes it's called the balanced thought.
Okay.
Now your hot thought was, dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution about my past. You've evaluated this hot thought. What might be a more balanced or alternative thought to the bolded hot thought?
I think the alternative thought is that I can recognize where my dad is making the effort, and I can have resolution in those areas.
Okay, that's useful. I mean, when he tries to make an effort, what does it say to you? What does that convey?
It conveys that I think he's trying to the best of his capacity. I truly believe that.
Yes. So this is, dad shows that he cares in the ways he can.
Yeah.
I kind of want to add in an and or a but.
Yeah. Dad shows that he cares in the ways that he can, and it can help me recognize the areas of resolution that like I have the freedom to let go of. And then the other piece of it could also be making peace with not getting resolution the way that I want it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to make that another thought actually. Now, part of this caregiver thing, right? There's also a bit of stuckness. What do you suspect will happen when you want to move out and live your life independent of him?
You know, I can make peace that I can move forward with my life and that his grief and depression are not my responsibility.
Yes. So look, becoming independent and having your own life, it's a tension that you kind of have to live with, even if you do get all the resolution, because separating from him when he can't take care of himself is going to be hard for you. Mm. It's not just hard because he's dishonest or you guys don't trust each other. It's hard because that's a hard thing, right? So I'm going to go over some of your alternative thoughts here. So first, the hot thought was, dad's dishonesty means I won't heal or feel resolution about my past. Your alternative thoughts, I can recognize where my dad is making an effort and have some resolution. Dad shows that he cares in the ways that he can, and there are some things he can't make up for. I might have to work on accepting the resolution might not look the way I want it. Which one or ones, you could pick more than one, do you feel is overwhelmingly relevant when you think about your anger, exhaustion, sadness, defeat, worry, and anxiety?
The bottom two. I might have to work on accepting the resolution might not look the way I want. And yeah. Regardless of our healing process, leaving dad will be hard.
Okay. Thank you for that. So now I'm going to add these feeling words again to the last column. The last column is about your present feelings, right? I want you to just take a moment and think about your two alternative thoughts and meditate on them for a moment and tell me, how would you rate your anger when you think to yourself, I might have to work on accepting that the resolution might not look the way I want it. And regardless of our healing process, leaving dad will be hard. Where's your anger?
One.
Did you say one?
Yeah.
Okay. And exhaustion?
Maybe two.
Okay. Sadness?
10.
Defeat?
2.
Mm-hmm. Worry?
2.
Fear? Did you say 1?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And grief?
1.
Anxiety?
1.
Whoa. That's one of the most significant changes in feelings. What do you make of the intensity of your feelings being reduced so significantly?
It's actually quite peaceful to like have gone through it. And I'm like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. I just want to put out there that I think when anger and exhaustion and anxiety decrease, there's a chance that things like worry and grief might increase. So as you move forward, just create some mental space for that. I think they can be more workable. I don't think they will make you feel as stuck.
I appreciate that note. I think so too.
Farah, before we end today, I just want to ask you if there's anything else you'd like to say about CBT, this use of the thought record.
This activity was fantastic and so good. So helpful. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So thank you for joining us. And I hope you continue your journey using both CBT and other kinds of therapy and you find the healing you're looking for. That's our CBT Shorts episode for today. I'm Raheem Thower, and thank you for joining us. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you want more content from us, check out our other social media platforms. The CBT Dive is intended for educational purposes and not meant as a replacement for therapy.